Astronaut John Young in our home. He was coming to England to make a presentation and to get some awards. You know, this is the guy who's walked on the face of the moon and done a lot of interesting things. We have this hanging in our house. That flag and that patch, by the way, we're on the face of the moon, and we've got it. It's kind of nice. You don't have one, do you? Nay, nay. And signed by John to my mom and dad for hosting him. Later on that year, I was in Houston, Texas, and I got the VIP tour of the Johnson Space Center. When an astronaut takes you around the Johnson Space Center, every door opens. One of the doors that opened was in response to the fact that Captain Young, United States Navy, looked at me and said, well, a couple of years ago, you went into Naval Flight School, but your vision, color vision, kept you out. He said, since you were going to be a naval aviator, how'd you like to fly the space shuttle? Yay! You know, you're 24 years old. What do you think I'll go say? Nah, I don't think so. So he straps me into the captain's seat of the space shuttle simulator. And he's guiding me down to land the space shuttle at Edwards Air Force Base. When I hear somebody behind me say something along the lines of, who's that with John Young? And the other person saying, it must be somebody important. Who else would be able to be in the simulator? Am I somebody important? I am. And so are every one of us in this sanctuary this morning. You're a child of God. Yes, I am. You are a child of God. You are made in His image. Look at the scripture with me, would you? And from the Message, I've got it up here the way that Peterson paraphrases it. God spoke, let us make human beings in our image, make them reflecting our nature. So they can be responsible for the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, the cattle, and yes, earth itself, and every animal that moves on the face of the earth. Let us make human beings in our image. Make them reflecting our nature. I could just finish the sermon right there. 2-minute sermon. Reflecting God's nature. It's who you are. God never said that. I'm sorry, you know, Susan, he didn't say that you love cats, but he didn't say that cats reflected their nature. Some of you love your dogs, but God never said that. He never said it about other animals. And while the scripture says that the heavens declare the glory of God, they're not God. They reflect something back. Pastor Dave is always asking you to answer questions. So, David,
yes, sir.
What are some of the attributes of God? Well, you don't have to answer it, but everybody else. What are some of the attributes?
Holiness.
Holiness, okay.
Faithfulness.
Grace.
Love.
Love, yeah.
Kindness.
Kindness.
Mercy.
Patience. Yeah. This. Now... Can I get close to you all and say, if those are the attributes of God and you are made in God's image and to reflect Him, how you doing on that list? How you doing? Are you showing those things daily? Should be. Could be. I hope so. Now, here's another verse of scripture, and I like this one too, again from the Message. When Adam was 130 years old, he had a son just like him. His very spirit and image. Just like him. He bore his likeness. At supper on Thursday evening, my mother made a comment about a photograph that one of my daughters put up on Facebook that day of our little grandson, who's 3 years old, and I was pushing him in a swing. And Mom said, I did a double take. I thought it was Dad. I walk by my bathroom mirror at least 3 times a week and see my dad looking at me. Some of you do the same thing? Your mom or your dad or your grandparent? Reflect. Adam had a son named Seth who was just like him, his very spirit. God says you're to be in his image and reflect his spirit. The same is so true for you and me, for we have to take after God in so many ways. It doesn't matter if you're rich or poor, if you're a male or female, if you live in Outer Mongolia or downtown Concord. Some people mar that image of God, don't they? But we still have it in us. We are made in God's image. Sin damages that image, but it doesn't destroy it. God gave us 10 Commandments. And while they've been taken out of schools and we have all kinds of groups trying to take them out of courtrooms and saying that they're antiquated, they don't matter anymore, it's those things that guide us and show us how we are to live. From what I hear, from what I read, from what I listen to, more and more of our world no longer has any concept that they are made in God's image. You are. We are. The image of God has become increasingly difficult to discern, but God hasn't changed his decrees that we are in his image. He still creates people like him, and that's you and me. Well, as I was typing this, some of you probably saw this piece on the news this week. I don't know that I can start this. Can you? Somebody start this for me back there? I don't have. If I do that, it doesn't work. It's only a half a minute piece. Some of you saw it. We'll probably need some volume on it too, maybe. Is it going to play? It played when I did it back there. No. Here it goes.
You gonna never hurt nobody no more. You doing laundry?
No.
Oh, okay. Let me put this over here, please. Right, well, good to see you. God bless you as always, darling. You're looking good. Like that hair. You got it down. I gotta work on mine. See you later, darling.
Okay. A sanitation worker, I think he was in Cincinnati. He does that every single week. Did you hear about that? Did you see it on the news? He does it every week. He brings this older woman who has dementia, brings her trash barrels back up the driveway, gives her a hug, and affirms her. Every single week. He's in God's image, isn't he? He really is. Later that day, I saw another piece on the news about a Hispanic patrol officer, I think it was down at Oklahoma, was it? Who ran up, saw a car stranded, a truck, I think it was, stranded on the railroad tracks, and he managed to get the person out of that thing 2 seconds before the train nailed it. Why did he do that? He said I heard him say, something inside of me said, he's worth it. Oh, in the image of God, we act in certain ways because of that all the time. God made you today to bear his image and reflect his glory. That's who you are on the 27th of October, 2019. God made you to reflect his glory. We hear a great deal today about progressivism in government. Back 45 years ago, I was impacted on a very challenging way about something that theologians back then were calling progressive sanctification. Now, that really challenged my way of thinking from the way I had been raised in the Church of the Nazarene about what sanctification is. But what it was really saying was this: while Jesus Christ, through the power of the Holy Spirit, will come in and sanctify you fully at a point in time, you then begin to hear day by day, if you keep your ears open and your heart open, the Lord beginning to ask you to make changes and to be more like him day by day by day. With the infilling of his Holy Spirit, if I allow, I can become more like him with every day that goes by. Isn't that what you want? Don't you want to be more like Christ with every day that goes by? I know I do. If I fellowship with him, if I read his word, if I live those Ten Commandments, if I seek to reflect his character, something wonderful emerges. Or maybe I could put it this way. Maybe someone wonderful emerges, that his Holy Spirit emerges through me and people see Jesus in me. Isn't that what you want? It certainly is what I want. God comes out through me more and more with every day that goes by. That's the way it should be. Are you saying things each day that sound a little bit more like Jesus Christ? We talk about those attributes of God. Are those coming out in you more and more and more all the time, those various attributes? You see, one of the things that I'm not sure I heard anybody say, but when I wrote my list down, and I made a big, long scribble pencil list on a piece of scrap paper about the attributes of God, the first thing I put up there was giving. It's based on a little verse of scripture you might have heard. For God so loved the world, he gave his only son. Are you giving? Which ways are you giving? You know, I hope you are giving. You know, the pastor talked about, you know, giving our tithes and offerings. I hope you're all tithers. There's nothing like it. There is nothing. I'm not going to preach a tithing sermon here, but I'd like to. God is all about giving. I brought for you, because some of you are like me, visual. So I brought something as a show and tell. I should be on TV, right? This looks pretty good right now. I mean, the bottom looks great. I mean, everything about it. This has absolutely turned into my favorite number 5 hand plane. When I got it for free because it didn't look like this. It was totally covered in rust. All of this paint that's now on here was just gone. You couldn't read on the side the maker. You couldn't read up here anything. But as I took hours and cleaned it, sharpened the blade, and honed it, it is now back in what the maker of this thing 85 years ago said it was supposed to be like. It not only looks well, it looks close to what it should have, but it is 85 years old. Some of you at 85 don't look like you did years ago either. But this still works as good as it did the day it was new. But it took some work. The blade is sharp. Don't touch it, kids. I don't have tools in my shop unless they're sharp. God's goal is this: to remove the rust and the dirt and the garbage, anything that is not of him, so that his inborn image can be seen in us. It took a lot of work to get the rust and the dirt and the garbage off of this. In some of our lives, it's been like that too, hasn't it? Hmm. when I preach, which isn't very often anymore, so much of what I say comes out of what I've seen and heard, like those videos, the stuff I saw on TV. At supper one night this week, somehow, I don't know how the conversation came up, about some of the professors I had when I was at London School of Theology, and I mentioned three of them, and one particularly I called his name, and I said he was a man. He was just an absolute click, click, click. Am I still there? No. Dark light. Green light. Static. That's terrible. Can I hold this and my clicker at the same time? We'll see if I can multitask. His name is John Balchin, and I had him all 3 years for one class or another. And then, wouldn't you know it, 2 hours later, Julie is going through a trunk and pulling out some old memorabilia and stuff and sorting things out and throwing things out. And she comes up with this postcard and she says, "Do you remember this?" That's a picture of the school. Green Lane, Northwood, Middlesex, England. I said, "No, I don't remember it." She said, "Turn it over and read what's on the back." This is just to remind you of the most beautiful place on earth outside of America. God bless and get well quickly, John Balchin. Professor sent this to me. I was in the hospital for a week. I think people who reflect God, who are made in his image, do things like that. They contact, they say, "We love you. Even when you're going through a tough time, we are there for you." One of the things that John Balchin taught me was this. Now, I'm going to demean you terribly, okay? But he told me I should. He said, "Preach to everybody as though they're fifth graders. Because fifth graders will get it if you preach at that level. And maybe some of the older people might pick up on it too." So for a lot of years, I've tried to look at you as, "Sorry, Janice, a fifth grader." We know we do it a little younger for Alan, but that's okay. So some of you who have heard me preach through the years will know that virtually every time I am up here, I use this version of scripture. It says ICB, International Children's Bible, because the children's Bible so often says things in a way that helps me understand, and I think it helps you fifth graders understand it too. "You have left your old sinful life and all the things you did before. You have begun to live the new life. In your new life, you are being made new." Are being made new. Get it? "You are becoming like the one who made you. This new life brings you the true knowledge of God. You are becoming like the one who made you." Are you becoming more like God every single day? Man, I hope you are. Or maybe you want to read this one, New King James Version. "But we all are being transformed into his image." Isn't that fun? Being made more like him with every day that goes by. I want to tell you something, folks, in case you never picked up on it before. The ads on TV are wrong. Sonobello is not going to make you more beautiful. Listening to what Oprah has to say or some of these other gurus about losing weight, not going to make it. Morgan & Morgan winning you money so you can have more money to spend and make yourself better, it's not going to make you better. The lottery, yeah, one person wins, 37 million people lose. Boink. Would somebody please figure this out someday? That's a money-making scheme for somebody else and not for you. What a bunch of idiots who play the lottery. I'm sorry, but I just stepped on somebody's toes, I'm sure. But man, what a way to lose money. Just put it in Pastor's pocket next time instead. He can use it more. There are movies that perpetuate this lie that if you do this, you're going to be better off. But it doesn't happen that way. According to the Bible, you are good simply because God made you in his image. You are to be an image bearer of God. You are somebody special. One of the songs that was sung earlier also is very much like this next phrase, this next piece of scripture I want to put up again from the Message. The psalmist David said, "And me, I plan on looking you full in the face. When I get up," and you can be either get up in this life or get up in the next one, as the song was referring to. "When I get up, I'll see your full stature and live heaven on earth." Living the way the Lord wants you to live. David recognized that he was made an image bearer of God. You know, there'd be a lot less Prozac being ordered by doctors if every one of us truly believed this, that I was made for God's glory and am being made daily into his image. As most of you know, Julie and I are the proud grandparents of 9 grandkids. And how many granddaughters do we have? 1. And that 1 little 3-year-old has her daddy wrapped around her little finger, and she's got her grandfather wrapped around the other little finger. Okay? And while Lydia Jane Audrey White has a little bit of my DNA in her, she has a lot of her mom and dad's DNA in her, but she also is an image bearer of God. While she, well, when we were in England 3 weeks ago, we brought over a couple of photographs. I wanted to have them to put them up here, and I couldn't get them. She's Lydia Jane Audrey White. Julie's mom is Audrey. A picture of Julie's mom at 3 and Lydia at 3 put up side by side. They look like twins born 90 years apart. If I had a picture, an honest, we have representations of what Jesus looks like, but if we really had Jesus here this morning and I held him next to you, would we be going, "Wow, I can't see any difference"? Why does God love you so much? It has 0 to do with your looks or your worth or your intelligence or your family tree. It has everything to do with whose you are. You are his. You are made in his image. You carry a part of him. His DNA is in you. I had a fun thought. If I went to what are those companies, 23andMe and what's the other one? Come on, I've lost it at the moment. Ancestry. If I went to those two companies and had them check on my lineage, would they see Jesus in me? When we came back from England a couple of weeks ago, I started burning wood in our stove again because the temperature was getting a little cooler. This time of year, I don't have to burn a fire all day. Don't have to burn it hot. But I've learned I've been burning wood since the second year we were married. We've had a wood stove in the house, and that's been a little bit of time. And I've learned that often when I can see no flames in that wood stove whatsoever, if I throw a couple of pieces of kindling in there and a piece of nice dry wood and open the draft up, it only takes about a minute or 2 minutes, and I've got a roaring fire again, even though I couldn't see anything. And it just bursts into flame, and it takes off. When you say yes to God, He breathes into your spirit and a flame begins. His image begins to spring to life. Julie and I were watching a British TV show a week ago, and there was a very heated exchange going on between an estranged parent and child. And in that exchange, the daughter said, "You said I would never amount to anything." The mother, an alcoholic, said, "You called me a lost cause." Anybody ever said anything like that to you? God loves you so much. Have you ever heard anybody say this to you? Oh, let's see, it's me. God loves you so much that had he not sent his son into the whole world to die for the whole world, he loves you so much that he would have sent his son just for you. That's how much he loves you. That thought has gripped my life for a long time, and I believe it. And that's why I keep trying to drive it home to you every time I have an opportunity. You are created in his image. You are his child. Jamie was up here a few moments ago and talking about Otoniel. We had him with us for a day. And one of the things we did was take him up for a ride to see the foliage. We went up around Lake Winnipesaukee and further than that. And we were just having a good day out. And we were coming down through Moultonborough, which is a high expense town, and down through Wolfborough. And in commenting, he commented on some of the cars we saw. And his statement was, he looked at me and he said, "These aren't like the cars you saw in Havana, are they?" Is the person who drives that very expensive Mercedes, or we also saw a couple of Ferraris, is that person worth any more than the one down in Havana who's driving a 1937 Chevy on its fourth engine rebuild? No. I've had the opportunity, as they call me at the racetrack at New Hampshire Motor Speedway, on my badge it says pastor, which is interesting. I'm the pastor at the Speedway. I've had the opportunity to meet some pretty influential, high-powered, wealthy people, a couple of literally billionaires. Millionaires are nothing in that world. By the way, don't ask me if I have autographs or selfies. No, I am not impressed with people like that. Never have been. I'm not. Because you know something? They're just like you and me. But you, most of the time, reflect God more than some of them do. You are made in the image of God and are being daily made into his image. It's renewable. Like him more and more and more. Yes, I don't know about you, Pastor, but odd, and I don't know about Fred's back there. We got several pastors here. I don't know if odd things go through your minds when you write things down for your sermon, but here's another one of my odd thoughts. It shouldn't be in the notes, and it isn't. It's just an odd thought. If any of you have to tweak your resume in the near future for a job, put down, "I'm a child of God. I'm in his image." See what a PR person does with that. I mean, an HR person does with that, and see where they go. But see if they think you look like him. In God's eyes, you are worth dying for. While I cannot recall any of the details of any of the sermons I listened to in the mid-1970s, I had a benefactor who, for a couple of years, sent me cassette tapes of Dr. Earl Lee, a name that many of you don't know. but he was a New Englander who ended up on the West Coast, and man, I'd like to be more like Earl Lee with every day that goes by. But he impacted me so much as I listened to those cassettes over those couple of years that I was given them. And I kept hearing Dr. Lee say simple things like, God loves you. Be like him. It's kind of impacted me to this day. It's made me who I am. So much of what I am. You see, Dr. Lee would keep saying, in God's eyes, you were worth dying for. I touched on this before, but I want to reemphasize, every person you see has been created by God. They bear God's image, and they deserve to be treated with dignity and respect. We are all image bearers of God. You and I were made by God to know him and to make him known, to show him to a watching world. And yet at times we say, look at me. A little over a month ago, I had a fun job one Sunday morning here. Because of vacations and sickness, there was a shortage of somebody to help out in the kindergarten class. And guess who went? And it was fun to be with those little kids. It really was. You know, those kindergartners. It was fun when they drew a picture and they had their crayons, and then they got it done and they said, look what I did. Look at me. When they set blocks up and knocked towers down and said, look at me. When they took race cars and put them on the shelf and trucks and knocked them off. You can guess which ones did that. It wasn't the girls. Look at me. That's one thing for a five-year-old to do. But sometimes we end up buying cars we can't afford, wearing provocative clothes we shouldn't wear. And you can fill in anything else you want to fill there, which is saying, look at me. Instead of looking at God who made me. Look at God, who is in my life, is what we should be saying. A God who loves me, a God who gave his life for me, a God who guides me daily. I've made a statement about myself for many, many years now, about when I die. I know that none of you will say at my funeral, if any of you choose to come, that he was a great preacher, because I'm not, and I've never aspired to be a great preacher, but I have said for donkey's years, I hope that somebody will be able to say of me, and I hope I've lived my life in such a way that somebody can say this of me, that he was a good communicator of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And you don't always do that with words, do you? It's how you live your life. And I hope that I have understood that piece from Genesis at the very beginning I put up there, that I am created in God's image, just like him. And I am to show that to you. And you are created to be just like him.